How items on the internet can appear much larger than they actually are.
It's kind of like laundering information. A manufactured crowd decides to promote something, and the thing that they want to promote gets laundered through people.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. In the war on disinformation online, bots are the foot soldiers. They're fake social media accounts working together to amplify messages online. They're the reason, for example, you saw conspiracy theories trending about students from the Parkland High School shooting in Florida. U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller recently filed charges against a Russian organization called the Internet Research Agency that had hundreds of employees posting and reposting political messages during the 2016 presidential election. The social media giants have been trying to crack down on fake accounts without much luck. Jonathan Morgan is CEO of New Knowledge, a company that uses AI to protect companies from disinformation attacks. I asked him, who's directing these bots?
Well, ultimately, the decision-making always happens by a human, because a human being writes the software that's going to operate an account even when it's automated. So somewhere there's a human being saying, whenever some account that I already know of posts any message that contains the keyword guns, retweet that tweet.
And then what are the mechanics of actually amplifying a conversation? I can imagine people listening to this thinking, well, I don't follow any bots. So how do they help make a conversation bigger than it might otherwise be?
Well, I think the tricky thing is that it's hard to know whether you're following accounts that are not who they say they are. I mean, there's an old joke that says, you never know who's a dog on the internet. But the other way that some of these networks amplify certain content is that they all work together. I might say to all my friends, hey, everybody, we're going to use this hashtag, we're going to post these keywords, and we're going to do it at a certain time of day. And what the platform sees, it looks like some conversation that has a lot of excitement around it and might be something that's going to be kind of a major zeitgeist news cycle conversation that they should stay on top of and amplify to the rest of their users.
And then the result of that, of course, is media coverage and the network effect of more people tweeting it because it's trending and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, everybody thinks it's a really big deal.
That's exactly right. And what we often see is that a small group of accounts will coordinate their activity. They'll even sometimes target people on the periphery of whatever conversation they want to have. Maybe people 1 or 2 degrees removed from mainstream political pundits. And they'll pick that up. They'll retweet it to their 2 million followers. And amongst their 2 million followers are people a little bit closer to the center of the conversation. And millions more people see it. And then they start discussing it on social media. And it's kind of like laundering information.
I am old enough to remember Google bombing, where a similar concerted effort would attempt to push certain websites to the top of Google's search rankings. That went away. Is this an existential threat to these businesses?
What's different about this problem than ones that we saw in the past, like Google bombing, like you described, that activity was really bad for Google's product. Because if you could trick their algorithm into feeding people content that they didn't want, then they'd stop using Google. On the other hand, people seem to really like this sort of hyper-polarized, incendiary content that they consume on social media.
But when you say people like it, people also liked smoking and they like drinking and they like reality TV and, you know, sugar. And is it part of a continuum where we think we like something and then we realize that it's bad for us?
I think that's a really good point. This is not sustainable. I do think we will see a change in people's behavior where they just start to get fed up with it. Maybe over the course of a generation, we'll see a change in behavior. But some of these companies are large enough that they need to be thinking about things on that sort of timeline.
That's Jonathan Morgan, CEO of New Knowledge. In terms of what we're addicted to, researchers at USC found last year that it's not only inflammatory and divisive content that does well online. In a study of how information goes viral, researcher Emilio Ferrara of the USC Information Sciences Institute found that good news spreads just as fast as bad news. So bots could be used for good and not just evil. But maybe it's best if we're all just real people talking here. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.